Good to be together again tonight. What a blessing, as always, to be in the house of the Lord, to fellowship with His people, to fellowship around His Word. Nowhere else I want to be. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Tonight we'll be looking at verse 2. Last week we began our study and we saw that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And also that we're saved, and if anyone is saved, it's by the will of God. It's by His will. Not our will, but by His will. He makes us willing. Tonight we'll be in Colossians chapter 1 verse 2. And the name of the message is In Christ. In Christ. Colossians chapter 1, we'll actually read the first three verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossus, grace be unto you, in peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And actually, let's read verse 4 too, because it ties in with verse 3. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. In Christ. In Christ. Two little words with so much meaning. Again, a little background to this book. Paul is battling works-based salvation and also Gnostic attacks and also worshiping of angels, which we see in verse 18 of chapter 2. It said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Vain traditions. This is where the receivers believe that they have greater knowledge or thought because they carried on these traditions through philosophy. So let us look at these two verses. But we're going to key on verse 2. But we need to read always in context. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So again, we're reminded that Paul was an apostle by the will of God. And Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the second half of Paul's salutation to the church at Colossus. And notice here it says, to the saints. To the saints. Well, God's elect, His chosen people, are called saints all through the Scripture. All through the Scripture. Paul here calls imperfect sinners saints. Imperfect sinners, saints. There's a certain sect that believes they have the power to make men, women, saints. Only God can make a person a saint. Only God. And beloved, if you believe in Christ, you're a saint. You're a saint. And you weren't made that by anything you did. You're made that by God, by His free grace. It's wonderful. The Greek word for saint means a most holy thing. We don't feel holy, do we? Most holy thing, a saint. And it's translated in the New Testament 168 times. This word, the same Greek word, is translated 168 times holy. And then it's translated 60 times as saints. Only God can make a sinner a saint. No man has the power to do that. And these here before us who are called saints, they're not saints by their birth, right? Their natural birth, because we come into this world, we've looked at it multiple times, we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. So the person is not made a saint by their natural birth. And they're not made saints by baptism, which certain sects believe, in what's called baptismal regeneration. The Catholics believe that, and also the Church of Christ believes that. Different times they believe that. The Catholic Church believes that in infancy that you baptize a baby and they become a saint. And the Church of Christ doesn't believe you are saved unless you're baptized, which is another gospel. Because no man has the power to make anyone a saint. So these believers who are mentioned in Colossians chapter 2 are not made saints by their doing. These who are called saints are not a saint by an outward reformation. A lot of folks will outwardly reform and say, I'm good. I'm good. Well, that's like cleaning the water pot on the outside, but inside it's still filthy. It's still filthy. The ones here are not called saints by their good works. Or what they've done. And they're not, Paul doesn't make them saints. He calls them saints. But he doesn't make them saints. Oh, beloved. One is made a saint by being separated by God. By being set apart by God. By being set apart by Him. By an act of eternal election in Christ, God chose a people and He set them apart. And they're the elect of God. He chose to do that of His own free grace. And every single believer in Christ, every single one of the elect of God is a saint. He is a saint. These saints, God's elect, are chosen by God the Father, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. These who are called saints here in our text, to the saints and faithful brethren, are made saints by God and by His will and by His decree. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. So when the word saint is used in Scripture for believers, we can conclude then that it means no more than sinners who have been regenerated and made saints in Christ Jesus. Sinners. Made saints. It's marvelous. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, not the building, right? The people. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. They're called with an effectual calling, an invincible calling. They can't resist it. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Called to be saints. Back to our text. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Henry Mahan says about this phrase, faithful brethren, saints and faithful brethren. All believers are saints and all believers are faithful brethren. We are sanctified by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are brethren because first we have the same Father. We saw that last week. We have the same Father. And in one body and family. And third, we have all the elder brother, Christ Jesus. The key word is in Christ. We are saints and brethren because we are in Christ. That's the only reason we're saints and brethren, is because we're in Christ. We're in Him. We're in Him. So in Christ is the key statement in this verse. To the saints and faithful brethren, in Christ. In Christ. We are saints and we are brethren in Christ. And we only have grace and peace in Christ, right? Think about it. Think about it. Think about before the Lord saved you. Did you have any peace? I didn't. Not real peace. There may be temporary peace, but I didn't really have peace. And I know I didn't have grace, because I was always saying how bad everyone else was. And then when the Lord saves you, you realize, oh my. You just look inward. So our main focus tonight will be in this phrase, in Christ, in Christ. And think of this, beloved of God, think of this. This is a reality. Believers are in Christ. And I want us to look at some of the marvelous things about being in Christ. We are secure in Christ. We're secure in Him. We who believe and have trusted in Christ are secure. We're in Christ. We're in Him. It's a reality. For those who have believed, we're united to Christ. He's the head, and we're the body. He's the head, and we're the body. So let's look at a few points of what it means to be in Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy 1:9. In Christ, the believer is given grace in Christ before the world began. Before the world began. We're given grace in Christ. Think of this world. Think of the universe. Think of before all that. We were actually given grace in Christ. And that predetermines before anything we do, doesn't it? So it's not based on our doing, then. We know that. Look at this marvelous verse. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. His purpose. His grace. The only reason we're saved is because of His grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. In Christ. In Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 1:4. This is a verse that we're all very familiar with. But before the foundation of the world, so we were given grace before the world began, and we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The elect of God, the called ones, were chosen in Christ, set apart by God. Chosen in Christ. According as He had chosen us in Him, in Christ, being Christ, Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy. Sinners, holy in Christ. We don't feel that way, do we? Oh, we we struggle with our flesh so much. Holy. And look at, and without blame. There's a mountain of sin in our lives, isn't there? Without blame. Without blame. Before Him in love. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 8, 38 and 39. Now, folks sometimes can love someone and then they say, well, I don't love them anymore, and then all this, right? You hear that. You hear that happening all the time. I want us to just rest in this, beloved. Oh, this is balm to my heart. In Christ, we are loved of God with a love that can never, ever be taken away. Never. He will always love His people, no matter what. Look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in, there's the phrase again, Christ Jesus our Lord. God will never stop loving His people. Never. This is wonderful. Never. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He will never stop loving His people. His love is set upon them from everlasting to everlasting, right? It never, and God doesn't change, does He? We do, but God never does. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 1, 7. In Christ, we are redeemed and purchased by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we know that's the elect of God. We know from studying this passage of Scripture, that's the elect of God we're talking about. In whom we have redemption through His blood, through the shedding of His blood on Calvary's cross, the forgiveness of sins. And we know from studying, that's all sins, isn't it? Past, present, and future. And look at this, according to the riches of His grace. Oh, it's marvelous. Oh, according to the riches of His grace. And that verse ties in to our study last week of verse 1, doesn't it? Where we know that we're saved by the will of God. According to the riches of His grace. Second Corinthians 5:21, if we could turn there. In Christ we are justified, the next point. In Christ we are justified before a holy and righteous God and before His perfect law and justice. We have the righteousness of God imputed to us in Christ. In Christ. Nowhere else. In Christ. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. Nowhere else are we redeemed. Nowhere else. There's no righteousness that's fit other than Christ's righteousness to stand before God's law and justice. And we know that our sins were imputed to Him, and He bore them, and He paid the price that God demanded. And He did it in the room and place of His people, according to the riches of His grace. And by His will, right? It was His will. Christ was on a mission. He must go to Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians 5:17, just a few verses up. Look at this. We are made new creatures in Christ. The next point. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We can't make ourselves new creatures. We can't make ourselves born again, although some believe that by praying a prayer or walking an aisle, that they're regenerated. But that's not the case. Do you know that God can save you in your seat without you moving a muscle? Because it's a hard work. He does the work. He regenerates. Therefore, if any man, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Think of this, beloved God. Can there be a greater change than this? We, being regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and by His power, is there a greater change than this? No. We can't do it on our own. This is a change beyond human ability or even human thought. It must be wrought by God. He must make us new creatures. He must regenerate us. And like I say, he could save you just like that. He could regenerate you just like that. Without you even moving. It's the passing away of the old and the making of all things new. And it can only be done by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's only those who are in Christ, those who were chosen in Christ, who will be regenerated. We don't have a clue who those folks are, right? We preach the gospel. Out it goes. And God, the Holy Spirit, does the drawing and does the saving. And He gets all the glory for doing it all. Think of this, we who are saved. Remember how we used to think and how we think now. Did Brother Tim, I know you came out of a lot of stuff. I didn't even think hardly of God at all before I was saved. And now He's on my mind. And through the day you'll be thinking and something will come to mind about our King and or about another believer. I never even thought about those things before. I had no care. I only cared about myself. But now, my thoughts have changed. Now I'm still a sinner, but my thoughts have changed. My desires. Think of this. Think of your desires before you were saved. Now, we desire Christ, don't we? The one who we wanted to have nothing to do with before. And to our shame, I know to my shame, the name that I took in a blasphemous way, now I praise. Praise His mighty name for what He's done. I couldn't do that myself. I couldn't reform myself. I know what I used to be. Is it not so with you, beloved? Oh, what a change. What a change He wrought in us. And he gets all the glory. We give it all to him. We give it all to him. And think of this. Think of how the love of Christ now constrains us from sin. It never did before to us, right? We didn't care. We didn't think about it. Now the love of Christ, it constrains us from sin, Scripture declares. It restrains us. And think of how we used to act before the Lord saved us. See the change that God has wrought in you? You didn't do it yourself. And we don't even notice it in ourselves. Now, other folks will notice us changing and growing, but usually we don't ever notice it in ourselves. But just ponder the way you used to think, the way you used to act, your desires before, and how do you... No, I know we're still sinful. I know that. But we're different. We're new creatures in Christ. We're new creatures in Him. And He does it all. The next point I'd like to look at quick is in Galatians chapter 3. In Christ, we who believe on Him are the children of God. The children of God. Spurgeon says this, now we may hear a lot of folks talk about the universal fatherhood of God. Spurgeon said it's nonsense. And there's no scripture to support that. These only are the children of God who are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, he says. Look at the scripture here in Galatians 3, 24 to 26. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Stop. It's marvelous. Children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not that faith makes any of the children of God, okay? Faith is a gift. Remember, we must always remember that. It's a gift and it has one object. It has one object, and that's Christ. Folks make faith an idol. Faith is a gift of God. And it has one object, and that's Christ. This adoption is God's own act and deed and flows from His rich and free grace in Christ. In Christ. God the Father has predestinated His chosen ones to the adoption of children based upon nothing in ourselves. And what do we say? We say, praise His mighty name. Praise His name. Undeserving sinners made saints. Where and how? In Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. And you know that in Christ all the promises of God are yea and amen? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 1:20. I remember hearing someone that we knew back in Oregon, and they were troubled that someone had told them that the promises of God were only for the Israelites. Well, that's dispensationalism at its finest. Because look at what Scripture says here. Look at this marvelous, marvelous. For all the promises of God are of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen. Beloved, we have all the promises of God in Christ. In Christ. In Christ Jesus our Lord, all the promises are yes. In the Greek, it's truly and assuredly. Amen in the Greek, being firm and trustworthy. Firm and trustworthy. Truly and assuredly, firm and trustworthy. All the promises of God in Him. And again, unto the glory of God. He gets it all. This is a constant vein in Scripture. Religion wants all the glory. Grace says He gets it all. He gets it all. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. In Christ, the believer is seated in heavenly places. Christ is the forerunner. He goes to prepare a place for us. And where the head is, the body will soon follow. Where the head is, the body will soon follow. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. But God, and this is after He's told us that we're dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich, rich, rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Dead. Remember we looked at graveyard dead. Can't do anything. No ability. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Him. In Him. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Turn with me if we go again to Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Do you know that in Christ all the elect of God are united as one? United as one. There's no color distinction. There's no race distinction. We're one in Christ. This is marvelous. And all the elect of all the ages are united in Christ. Marvelous. Galatians 3, verses 28 and 29. Think, beloved, too, of what mercy it is. What mercy it is to be in Christ. What mercy God has had upon us who are in Christ. And let us read this. Look. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are one in Christ Jesus. In Christ. One in Christ. All the elect of all the ages are one. He's the head and we are the body. And think of this. When you take a picture, we take pictures of people's heads, don't we? Because that's the most prominent part of the body. He gets all the preeminence. He gets all the glory. He's the head, we're the body. And if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. Think of this, in Christ we are not seen anymore. But only Christ. And we're accepted in Him. He must increase, John the Baptist said, and I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. Philippians chapter 4. In Christ the believer has all his need fulfilled. All his need supplied. Philippians chapter 4 verses 19 and 20. But my God, my God shall supply all your needs, verse 19, according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. And what? Look at the next verse. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a constant thing we're seeing. The glory always goes to God. All our needs, beloved. All our needs. Think of this, we who are saved are taught by God that we cannot save ourselves. We're showing our desperate need for Christ. But think of this, all that a sinner needs is in Christ. We're showing our sinfulness. The Holy Spirit of God has drawn us, and all that we need is in Christ. All that we need. Redemption? Can't pay the price for one sin. Christ pays it all in the room and place of His people. Sanctification? Can't make ourselves holy. We saw that. In Christ, we're made holy. Forgiveness? No way we can pay one price. We need to be justified before God. The believer is justified in Christ. All that a sinner needs. All that a sinner needs. I don't care how black your sin is. I don't care what you've done. All that a sinner needs is Christ. And I stand here a sinner saved by the grace of God. And everything I need is in Christ. Now, some folks may say, well, that's being weak. Well, I need them. I need them desperately. Do you? May God show you your need. That's what He's done for those of us who are saved. He shows us our need. Ephesians 1:3 says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. And remember, God shall supply all your need, right? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There it is again. All that a sinner needs is in Christ. Oh, my. And we have no peace without Christ. No peace at all. None at all. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. But the believer has peace with God through Christ. In ourselves, we have no peace with God. But the believer has peace with God. Peace. He was at war with Him. Now he has peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, we can't even fathom it. Vicki and I often talk about the peace we have now compared to when we were in religion. No peace, peace. And I can't explain it. It passes, as Scripture said, all my understanding. But He's my rest, and He's my hope, and I have peace with Him, with God through Him. And look, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is why I say we just need to keep our eyes on Christ. We just need to. I do. Desperately. And in Christ, we have eternal life. Eternal life. Now we're all going to die, every one of us. But those in Christ have eternal life. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. A lot of folks are trying to reach a place that they call heaven, or whatever they call, where they think by their imagination they're going to be. Right? And they're trying to get there by their works. But no amount of works, no amount of anything you or I do, no amount of anything that anyone does will get us to heaven or give us eternal life. This is why we proclaim as grace preachers, cease from your labors. Just stop and flee to Him, the only one who can give you rest. The only one who has eternal life. For the wages of sin. This is talking like a payment for a soldier. Several commentators said that this is like when a soldier receives his wages. The wages, the payment for sin, is death. It's death. But the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's nowhere else. Sins, and think of this, we as sinners, sin's wages, the wages of sin is death, those are justly earned. We justly earn those. And that payment is death. Spiritual, physical, and eternal. But God's gift to His people is unearned. It's unearned. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. And it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't deserve this. But yet He gives it to His people. In and through Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Saints are in Christ. Things come about in the world, troubles and trials and tribulations, but those who believe are in Christ. But those who don't believe are not in Christ. Flee to the refuge. Flee to the refuge. Oh, may God make you willing. Flee to the refuge. That's Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verses, or Colossians 1, yeah, 2. We'll look at the latter part of the verse now. So those who are saints, and he to the saints. This is what believers are. They're made holy by God. They're faithful in the brethren. They're brethren. And it's in Christ. Paul's salutation continues with, "Grace be unto you and peace." If you notice in Scripture, grace always precedes peace. Always. Always. And we saw we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man outside of Christ has no grace and no peace. He may fool himself into thinking he does, but he doesn't. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 33. God's people find grace in the eyes of the Lord. They find grace in the sight of God, and it's in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Look at Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 14. God's elect find peace and rest from God the Father in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nowhere else. And Moses said, verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. I know thee by name." He knows every one of his people by name. Every one of them. "And thou hast also found grace in my sight." Every believer finds grace in the sight of God. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight," he's not boasting about anything he does, "oh, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee." It'll go with thee. "And I will give thee rest." Rest. I need rest in this world. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. So we've seen in the Old Testament, we're going to close with this. We've seen in the Old Testament where God says, "I'll give you rest," right? "I will give thee rest." And you know, this sinner, and I know other sinners, have only found rest in Christ. It's nowhere else. Look at this in the New Testament. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Are you weighed down by sin? "And I will give you rest." Rest. Rest from your labors. Rest from your doings. Right? Rest from trying to work our way to heaven. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Every believer is taught of God. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Only in Christ, right? Only in Christ. "For my yoke is easy." Works is awful hard, isn't it? Oh, for folks who are working their way or trying to work, it's labor. But what freedom we have in Christ. What rest we have in a mighty Savior who has forgiven us from all our sins. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Oh. Rest. It's only in Christ. It's nowhere else. May God teach us this week just to look to Him and to rest. Rest in Christ. I'll see you when it's time.